everyone. Welcome to the Podcast Insider. My name is Todd Cochran. I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mike Dell. Mike, how you doing?
Doing good. I'm locked down here in my dungeon, and or no, Dave calls his is the dungeon, so mine must be the bunker. That's it.
Yeah, anyway. I'm in FEMA Area 5. I'm here in the New Media Production Studios, and we're doing, actually, for those of you that are listening, we actually did this live today as well. So we've got a Facebook audience with us. We're going to be doing the normal show. We've got a lot to cover today. We've got some news, best practices. We've got some blueberry news, some really good news on that front too. We got an interview with the Super Joe Pardo. Joe, your interview got right out. Did the interview with him a couple of days. Got some support questions. And then Sean's tips. So we'll go through that stuff. And again, for the live audience, a couple of these segments are not going to be included today. But Mike, we saw something funny this morning posted.
Yeah, there's a story out there that says CDC warns against starting podcast while quarantined. And, you know, it goes on to talk about, you know, there's enough crappy podcasts out there and, you know, so on and so forth. But pretty funny. It's kind of Onion-like. I will throw a link in the show notes. I wasn't going to, but why not?
Yeah, so it wasn't actually an Onion piece. So someone had a little bit of satire and were trying to make light of the current situation. But so we're
at thehardtimes.net.
Yeah, so we hope that everyone is, I know some of you are out of work. I know some of you are at home working. You got your kids home, school's out, so we feel for you. But we're going to be posting some stuff on Blueberry or PodcastInsider.com the next couple of days. Things are going to help you stay organized and doing podcasting. But the most important thing is today we announced an initiative with COVID-19. We've created a series of public service announcements. And it's basically a campaign that anyone that has a Blueberry account can participate in. If you don't have your show claimed at blueberry.com, you can go over and claim your show, and then you'll be able to participate in the campaign. You just got to click the link, and there's just a couple of steps, and we'll make available all of that material that we've put together. Mike, I know that you have a sample of one of our PSAs, one of the four PSAs. Why don't you play that for the audience right now?
I can do that.
COVID-19, better known as coronavirus, has spread throughout the world. Symptoms of this respiratory disease may include fever, cough, and shortness of breath. These symptoms may show up 2 to 14 days after exposure. If you are experiencing these symptoms and have come into contact or are in an area with an ongoing outbreak, please call a hotline and or consult with a physician. Clean and disinfect high-touch surfaces. For more information, please visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Thank you.
So what's interesting here on this campaign is all you have to do is claim your show at Blueberry. If you have a show claimed at Blue, doesn't matter if you're a hosting customer, doesn't matter if you're a stats customer, all you got to do is claim your show and you'll have access to the campaign. So if you have a Blueberry account and you have a show on there, doesn't matter if it's stats, hosting, whatever, the link that came in the newsletter, all you got to do is click that link and it'll take you to the campaign system. And then there's some simple instructions on how to get started. And you'll see, you basically add your shows to the CDC campaign. It's very simple. And we want everyone that wants to participate to please do so. And we're excited to be able to do this. And we had our Blueberry Pro team at blueberrypro.com actually record the PSAs for us. Now, we're not the only ones trying to do anything. Mike, Zencastr, they've removed their 8-hour rule for free accounts.
Yeah, and you know, for the duration of this situation anyway, and yeah, that's great. That way, you know, those of you that want to do podcasts and can't do them face-to-face, this is the another way of doing it.
So we'll have a link in the show notes today to the Zencastr article to let you know about that. And but on more happy news, Amazon, who is supposedly the leading smart speaker market in the United States, and it looks like it's going to stay that way. So there was an article about Amazon and what's going on with them by Insider Radio, right?
Yep. And they have about, what was the percentage, but yeah, 68% of all the smart speakers in the United States are from Amazon. So they're doing good. They're killing it. And it's a pretty good product. And, you know, it's not to say that the Google and Apple products are bad. It's just that's the one that's being adopted the most.
You know, and I tell my audience always to use the magic word, because we're not going to say the A-L-E-X-A word, say the magic word to launch the device. And usually if your show is phonetically spelled correctly, you can say play the podcast and your show name, and it'll play the latest episode. So, yep. And it's fed from like three different sources. So if you're not on TuneIn, there's a couple additional sources as well.
I think Apple and Spotify. All, if you've got Apple or Spotify linked to your device, it'll play there instead of TuneIn. TuneIn is kind of the default, so make sure your shows are in TuneIn.
Yeah. So there's a new site calling itself the Rotten Tomatoes of Podcasting, podfaves.com. So what's the story with that? I'm not up to speed with them, Mike.
Yeah, Podfaves is kind of doing the same sort of thing that Rotten Tomatoes does, where they you know, list shows and people can rate them and all that. And, you know, however, you know, Rotten Tomatoes does it. They're doing it very similar. One thing about it, I did notice that not all podcasts are in there yet. So I don't know if there's a way to go over there and add yours, but I'm sure they'll, you know, if someone has a comment about your podcast and they start using this, yours will show up there. Might not be a good thing, but I think it'll be an interesting site. You know, Rotten Tomatoes is definitely a good site for movie reviews and whatnot. So, you know, why not have that for podcasts?
That's right. So I saw an article in Pod News this morning talking about event ticketing company Eventbrite holding all ticket monies from events. So some people have got, you know, they're in between. They're kind of their events coming. And so there's some issues out there. And, you know, it goes back to this ongoing theory that an ongoing thing that I've said for many, many years. When you're using a third-party website, you are at their mercy when it comes to changing business models, changing climates. So here again, Eventbrite is holding all ticket money for events, and we've got some podcasting events later in the year that probably will continue that are having some issues over this. So, you know, it's just better just to try to run your own if you can. You know, it's not that difficult to set up a system to ticket people, and when you're again, it's just like podcasting. Control your brand, control your IP, control your feed. That way you don't have to worry about changing business models. Let's talk a little bit about best practices here. So right now, Mike, everyone is social distancing. I had a ticket that came into the system yesterday. A gal said, we can't record. We do this always together, and she's in a panic. And I'm like, yes, you can. You can. Now, probably the easiest way for someone that doesn't have any equipment whatsoever to do, you know, group calls is maybe to use Zoom and pay the small fee that Zoom requests for their commercial plan. I think it's inexpensive.
Yeah, it's not terrible. I want to say it was $15 a month or something.
Something like that, and they give you a discount on a whole year. You could actually basically have everyone come into either a conference call or do live video and record the whole thing right in Zoom. If you're one-on-one, if you're just doing a single person-to-person interview, there is no limit to the recording. But if you're doing more than one person, it's 45 minutes on the free version, right?
Right, yeah. And, you know, they cut it off. So you could even, you know, do 40 minutes and start a new meeting and do another 40 and then edit together. So you could still get away with it for free, but, you know, the price isn't that bad. But definitely gives you a way to record separately. You know, you and I are, a couple hundred miles apart. One time you were in Hawaii and I was, you know, we were doing this show together. So we've always done this remotely.
That's right.
Not everybody does. Blueberry Pro offers remote recording. Yeah, that's another option if, you know, if your company is doing podcasts like that and or, you know, you're doing, you know, live recording all the time. Go ahead and, you know, get a hold of Blueberry Pro over at blueberrypro.com.
Yeah, I think what we're running into now is all of a sudden people are figuring out, oh, my studio that I'm renting is closed that I go to. And my engineer is gone, you know, my normal setup, and they're in a mild panic on how to get shows out. So, again, Blueberry Pro is definitely an additional option. Need to make sure we have that in the show note links too, Mike, on, you know, this remote recording potential So, in matter of fact, you get an engineer, you get a producer. That's the beauty about Blueberry Pro. So you have a team that's working with you to be able to actually, you know, do the things. You just get a mic. Yeah. No, could be any mic hooked right up to your computer, and you dial into their, not dial in, you digitally go into their system.
I just listened to a show that they did remotely like that with one of our newer Blueberry Pro customers, and it sounded awesome. And they even can get you announcers, even if you wanted to, you know, have somebody do some VO work for you. They do a real good job. They did these PSAs for us.
And that's right. The team at Blueberry Pro recorded the PSAs. And I think when you listen to them, you're going to be like, wow, I think I'll just play that instead of reading the script. They sound fantastic. And you can use Skype. You can Zencastr. Zencastr, like we talked about early, has waived fees. You use GoToMeeting. Now, GoToMeeting is a paid product, but it's pretty good as well. You can do a double ender where one person records, like I'm recording here, Mike is recording there. Yep. If something happens, I send Mike my recording, and he can put it back together and make it work. So the double ender will work as well. But again, there's lots of great tools out there right now. StreamYard is another one.
Yep.
Now, StreamYard, you can't record unless you pay for the commercial product. But that's another option to use to do a little bit of live, have a little bit of fun. That's what we're trying to do today. We've got 13 people. I think we're up to 16 a little bit earlier on the live stream. And make sure you all check in and say hello. But we wanted to kind of mix things up because everyone is, you know, a lot of people are stuck at home. Obviously, first responders, nurses and stuff are not, but schools are out, you know, so your podcast can thrive. There's no reason why it can't be. And matter of fact, this is the best time to get interviews. I got Super Joe Pardo because of he was basically at home. We were able to get at a time of his convenience and my convenience, we were able to get this knocked out during the lunch hour. And you've got this ability now, if people are laid off or they're, you know, kind of hanging low, this is a great time to get an interview to break up the monotony of the kids. Now, Mike, you're babysitting dogs.
Yeah, I've got dogs and the wife here. And, but I'm kind of annoyed. This isn't a big change for me, you know, right, just because I've been working for the last 4 years at home pretty exclusively. You know, every once in a while I come down to the office, but you know, but for other people, it's not normal, to be home. So, but it is a great time to start or up your podcast production. So there's no reason you can't do it remotely.
Yeah, absolutely. So, matter of fact, there was a time when no one used studios. No one used, you know, they may have done one-on-one togethers, but, you know, trying to maintain that social distancing and doing everything, you may take a little bit of a hit on audio quality, but you're getting the content out there. And that's the thing that counts right now. And in my opinion, it's a positive for podcasting and also opportunity to create great content that's relative, that's going to get people interested in listening to your show. I think Tom Webster said, don't count on your audience numbers being as high as they were. But I really think, and someone asked me the other day to go look. They said, go look and see what's going on with the consumption. And I haven't done that yet. I need to. But in my opinion, I think it's people's routines are a little bit different, but it's a great time to create podcasts. So let's talk a little bit about a Blueberry News going on here. We're all working at home. The entire team is staying safe. Yep. So I hope you're well. And we've been doing a 9:10 a.m. team meeting every morning and having a discussion with the team. And then a little later in the afternoon, we do individual meetings and we're on Skype. And I was doing Skype, Slack. I was doing Slack videos yesterday with people. I was doing Zoom meetings with customers, potential customers. So for us, it's business as normal from a business standpoint. Just we're not, certain groups are not as close to each other. So
Seeing more of everybody. So, you know, in my case,
know. It's true because we got you in on the morning meeting now. So you're seeing everybody every morning. So right. I think maybe this will be something that will continue after we're through this, this crisis. It's here, Mike. It's finally here. And podcasters at Blueberry are starting to notice Spotify's on pass through.
Yeah, that took forever, but I've got a couple of tickets already. Hey, I'm getting a lot of downloads from Spotify all of a sudden. Why is that? And we went pass through, which means your Spotify listens are going to show up in your normal statistics, not in the special Spotify section.
But
it's only those of you that submitted it through Blueberry on the dashboard. If you submitted it directly to Spotify, everything is as it was.
That's right. So if you submit it through Blueberry, you're on pass-through, means that your stats are going to be on Blueberry. But if you submitted your show through Spotify and not us, you're not on pass-through. You never will be on pass-through. And so we can't collect your stats. You'll still get stats coming back. I think maybe, I don't know, do those folks' stats even come back to us?
No, we don't even get those, but now there's a possibility we may be able to work something out with Spotify to get you switched over to us at some point. I will be working on that.
Yeah. So if you do create, just as a reminder, if you are one of those about 1,000 shows that create their media in M4A, going to see a new listing. You're going to see an MP3 listing in your stats. That is the file that we've had to create for Spotify to go to pass through. So you'll have that. Matter of fact, that show will only be, or that title, that MP3 will only be distributed to Spotify. So you're going to have some real exact numbers on that for those of you doing an M4A. So we do it. We convert every episode to MP3. It's because Spotify runs on MP3. They don't accept M4A.
But we only send that MP3 to Spotify. We do not send that to everybody else. We leave your file alone to go everywhere else.
Yeah. So just be aware that this wasn't our doing. It was, matter of fact, Spotify was already converting your M4A to an MP3 on Spotify. So just so you know that, all right? At the same time, the newsletter is on the streets. So I saw that go out about an hour ago.
Yep.
So it's in your inbox, along with the information. There's information on podcastinsider.com, and there's information on, of course, in the newsletter on how to participate in that PSA. Yep. So next up is the interview with Super Joe Pardo. He is the founder of what was originally MapCon, Mid-Atlantic Podcast Conference. He's now the event had a name change to Indie Podcast Conference. I think you're going to enjoy this interview. Talks about the formation of that. Talks about his, Joe is like this super positive guy. I think he just like drinks 20 Red Bulls a day because he's always up and on. So we'll cut now to the interview with Joe Pardo, and we'll be back in after the interview. We want to welcome Mr. Joe Pardo, Super Joe Pardo, to the Podcast Insider. Joe, how are you doing?
I am quarantined. How are you doing?
Well, you're quarantined. We're still not locked down yet, but, you know, we're observing, how should we say it? We're being safe. So
the malls are closing at 8 o'clock, apparently, and people are panicking about them. Like, who is still going to the malls? I haven't been there in a while.
Yeah, I don't think I've been in a mall in 2 or 3 years, but we've, the restaurants and bars are closed. So,
that's good.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Because the bars were full, you know, no one's going to go home. They're going to party if they're not working as much.
Yeah. Spending that money.
That's right. They may not have here soon because everybody's going to be out of a job, but anyway, welcome to the show. And of course, why don't you give everyone just a little 411? Of course, you do the Dreamers podcast, but get the audience just a little insider info about who you are.
Yeah. So I grew up in a family business. In 2014, I had enough and decided to leave. April 2nd, 2014 was the last day, and I still didn't know what the heck I was going to do. I had gone back to school. I mean, all I know is business. Growing up in the business that grew to $100 million enterprise. And I just was not happy at that point. So about a month after I left, I'm on a plane to Disney World, as I would normally to because I'm a big Disney head. And I was talking to my friend and he was like, oh, you know, there's this show you should listen to where they interview entrepreneurs. And I'll leave it up to you, and, you know, all your listeners to know which show he was referring to.
Entrepreneur on Fire.
Yes, of course. Of course. Well, that show was there in 2014 that was lighting up the world on fire. Like that it did. So yeah, so I was like, oh wow, I know a lot of people in business, but I know a lot more people that are living their dreams. And the plane landed and I was like, I got this idea to interview people who live their dreams. So I registered the domain name, the Twitter handle, and the Facebook page before we got to the rental car. So it was dreamerspodcast.com, and I had a list of people that I wanted to interview. And then it was off to the races. I hooked up with my friend Al Kessel, who runs a podcast and is a professional voice actor, who was just getting to the point where he was starting to take it seriously as a professional voice actor. And he was my first guest, and we had a great time, and people were really enjoying it. And then I went from one day a week to 3 days a week, just like 2 weeks into it. And then, you know, iTunes new and noteworthy. That was a thing for me. So I was like, oh, okay, let's go 5 days a week. Why not increase the downloads and more, you know, more episodes? Let's go. I'm recording episodes nonstop because I had no job at that point. And schoolwork was actually getting to the point where it was very light because it was the end of, you know, it was pretty much the end of the school year. And I was only taking one class anyway. So we went 5 days a week for about 3 months before I was like, okay, now I got about 75 episodes or something like that under my belt already. And I'm going to go back down to 3 episodes, start writing books. In that time, I've written since then, I've written four books total. I've spoke at a number of conferences and events all over the country, including at the United Nations, on the power of podcasting, because I believe so much in it. And I started what was the Mid-Atlantic Podcast Conference back at the end of 2014. And now it's called Indie PodCon, or Independent Podcast Conference. And I've produced 6 shows, different shows, 390 episodes of the Dreamers podcast, which I need to get back to recording some more episodes. And I've done a host of different types of shows, not just interview shows, different shows, not just different episodes. So it's been a crazy journey for me, and I'm so grateful for it.
So it's almost like you kind of got hit in the mouth, right? And you know, you kind of like have this life change. You're on an airplane. You're thinking about, what am I going to do? And it's like, you know, your buddy punched in your mouth and said, "Hey, there's a podcast. Go check this out." And you thought it was cool, and that motivated you. So that really kind of was your genesis story on how you got started.
Yeah, I mean, people had told me before that I should have had a podcast because I was listening to WDW Today, which goes back to end of 2004.
Yeah.
You know, Matt, Mike, and Len. And I went to a bunch of their like meetups down in Florida and became a real like part of that fabric of the community. In fact, a lot of my friends that I'm still friends with to this day came out of that community. And it was, you know, for me, it was like, oh, you know, I always wanted to do something to that level. I had been blogging since 96 when I was 10 years old, writing about my daily life and what I, you know, the ups and downs of preteenisms and then post preteenisms. And, so, you know, I've been doing websites and all that. So for me to put it all together and have a DJing background since 2004, for me to, you know, do audio and writing content and all that, for me, it just made sense. It was just a matter of finding something I wouldn't get bored with. And when people would be like, oh, you should be Jersey Joe talking about Disney World, I'm like, yeah, that sounds cool. But I feel like by episode 10, I'd be really bored with it because it can't just be me. And that's the way that I felt about podcasting. I had this relationship with it where I really only listened to one show. It was WDW Today. And it was a roundtable show where they only had guests on every once in a while. So that's what I was trying to do. I was promoting a DJ album I had just put out back in April of 2014, that was Disney music mashed up with hip hop instrumentals. And it was to raise money for Give Kids the World down in Orlando, or Kissimmee, I think it's located. But yeah, so that was the relationship I had with podcasting. So when Martin was like, hey, you know, you should listen to this Entrepreneur on Fire show where they just interview entrepreneurs, I was like, I never thought about podcasting as an interview only type of thing, and having the ability to say, okay, well, if I'm interviewing dreamers and inspiring people to like go and live more of their life, do more cooler things than they are right now, then that to me is like, it's an open-ended book that I could figure out what I want out of my life and get to have all these great interesting conversations along the way that will help me figure it out.
Anyone that's been listening to this show for any amount of time since we changed the format and started interviewing podcasters, I think you're starting to see something here that is definitely a trend. You know, you're doing this for you to be have exposure to all these cool people, having a great time doing it, and also enlightening your audience. So I guess that brings the question up then, you know, what today, because I know this is a big question because you do a lot of stuff. So what are you getting out of this complete, you know, what, because you've got the conference, you've got the podcast, that it's basically become an intertwined part of your entire life, right?
It has. And the number one answer is a one word answer: people. It's really about the people and bringing people together. And that's what the conference allows me to do, because I love people that have a tech, you know, an itch for tech. I love people that have an itch for bringing change in the world, you know, and just really inspired people. And podcasters, for whatever reason, and I mean, it's probably pretty obvious, they all want to bring some form of change to the world, whether it's to themselves or to the people around them. And it always starts with you, right? The person in the mirror is the person that's got to change first. So it's, for me, like, to be able to connect with people that are really inspired, that do amazing things, it just means the world to me. And I love, you know, business, and my show has morphed into you know, a business lessons podcast, more or less. We talk about life a little bit, but I'm not the life coach person that, you know, I think some people would like me to be, but I'm more in the business, the team, the offer, the process. That's how I, you know, frame it. But yeah, the people, that's really what it's all about, is it starts with the people, and then how can I help those people, and how can I bring, I know everyone uses the word value, but it really is like, how can I make other people's days, right? How can I help them make it easier for them, for themselves, and in the process helping me, you know, provide for my family and keep what I have going.
Right.
So yeah,
you know, I know that you changed the name to your conference to the Indie Podcast Conference, but I think back to your start when you were doing, when it was called MapCon, and it's still the same conference, it's just a new name, is that one thing I noticed is, and it's a little different than some of the other conferences I've been to, maybe not, I just got back from Houston attending the Spark Podcast Conference, was a Christian podcast conference, and there it felt very, very family and kind of an interesting way, and it was good. But your event is like, you bring in this group of people that all know Joe, and they're there to support you and also participate and bring in new people as well with them, invite people that are going to be in the podcasting community. So it's like you have this really cool extended family where you have this, don't want to call it family reunion, but it's almost like a family reunion, but y'all come to learn. And so that's the big difference, I think, between your conference and many others, is it's really got this personal appeal. And, you know, anyone that's listening to this, if you're well, where's it going to be this year? It's going to be in Jersey somewhere, right?
Yeah, so it'll be just outside of Philadelphia, September 24th to the 26th, assuming that the apocalypse doesn't happen. I did a live last night talking, you know, a town hall talking about this, and how we're, you know, worst case scenario, it'll be a virtual conference. And we'll, you know, I have a pretty good idea how to run all that, so I'll make it work. But the great thing about my conference is I'm not on the hook for tens or even hundreds of thousands of dollars. So like, it's not the end of the world. I'm going to be all right. If it happens, my sponsors will be all right. If it happens, we'll make it work, and we'll put funds towards next year as well.
Right.
You know, however we got to do it to make everybody happy. That's what we'll figure out.
I think we'll be out of the hole here by September, but I think
I hope so.
But the main thing is what I have learned, and we just got back from PodFest down in Orlando, largely regional event. We're out on the West Coast with the Podcast Movement Evolutions, largely a regional event. I think we can probably both admit that Podcast Movement main event in Dallas will probably draw from all coasts, but not a lot of people can afford to come to a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, take 5 days off from work to go to events. So your event, which is going to happen in the, you know, up there in the Eastern Seaboard, you're going to have the ability, I think, this year to draw a really big crowd, get the marketing out and get it going, because there's regional stuff is going to be continue to be big. And I think it was very evident to me that there's this huge desire of new people coming to space to learn about podcasting. So I think you're well placed in the time, and anybody that's listening to the show, you definitely want to sign up to be able to be part of this event. And I know you got your fingers crossed. I think this is going to be way behind us by that point. We'll see where the economy's at. But at the same time, we found in the having weathered this storm in 2008, being in the podcasting business, the podcast business went up during the, because people were out of jobs. They were looking for a new thing to do. And so podcasting exploded. And not only that, did a lot of supporters came in, but that's getting away from your story, but I think you're going to be fine, Joe, for your event in September.
I hope so. And there's a possibility. I mean, they're talking about June, July, right? Being with the end of this, and, you know, with Podcast Movement being in the beginning of August, it's possible that people are still leery about traveling by August. And so there's a potential for there to be a super big pent up desire to go to a conference that's we might be that conference for people to come to. We're hoping to host 300 to 400 people at the event. So it's a one track event too. So you get in the rub elbows with all the people, the Dave Jacksons, the Ty Cochrans of the world, throughout the entire event. So it's not like, oh, I saw this person and then they spoke and then they disappeared off into the, you know,
and that happens to some of those big conferences. Sometimes people fly in and leave. They don't even stick around. So
exactly. So yeah, so my hope is that we don't have to cancel. And that means that a lot of people probably didn't die in the process. So
I shouldn't laugh, but all you can do at this point.
I know. Well, it could be a nervous tick too, right? Like, cuz it's you know, we are in that world where it's like this could go really, really wrong for a lot of people really, really quick. It's a shame.
Yeah. So you got the event and so this is part of this big family. So it kind of makes it complicated because it really doesn't make complicated. You're getting fed professionally and meeting people. But how do you feel? And what's your reaction of your audience back to you on across the board for the show and for the event? And, you know, what kind of love do you get back from that group?
You know, I don't want to say it's indescribable, but it's an honor that people think the way they do about me. Cause I truly do not feel that way about myself every day. Right. I have the same struggles that everybody else does. And you know, some days are a heck of a lot harder than other days. But you know, I try to think about the things that are, you know, the most positive that we can, what's on the bright side. And it's not to a level of like Lou Mangiello, like I want to punch you in the face. Cause you're just like, hey, I know people died, but it's all good. Right. Like, no, it's not. So trying to find that balance of a realist, and positivity, in myself is a constant struggle. So to have people that are so overly passionate about my enthusiasm for life and for how I try to conduct myself and try to be the best, you know, version of a human being that I can, that, you know, it means a lot that people see it and that people want to be around it and be a part of it.
You know, I think what happens too is, of course, you know, we don't have, you know, someone watching us 24/7, but I've never seen you in a bad mood. I've always seen you positive. I've always seen, you know, you being very encouraging to the people that at your events and in your podcast, and you're getting, so I think that rubs off on people. And, you know, so don't be afraid to take those accolades, because I think you're well-deserved in getting those from your fan base and for people that attend your events. I just hope more people become aware of your event and are able to come, because it's a fun event to go to. And again, it ties back to the essence of you starting a podcast, and you know how you started the event turned out as a complete quirk as well, right?
Yeah, I went to Lou Mangiello and Jared Easley hosted a Florida podcasters event back in, it was in 2014. So I happened to be down in Orlando at the time in which they were hosting it in Disney for WDW Today's meetup, the reunion event. That's a 4-day, like, go on different rides together with people that get it and all that. And I took a day from that event and went there, and I met some really awesome people that I'm still friends with to this day. People like Neil Gallarte, John Dennis was there. Donald Kelly was there. I'm trying to think of who else. Heather Bayer was there. There was just so many people that I got to meet. Niall. I'm blanking on his last name, Niall. I'm so sorry.
Oh, you're better than me. I would have gotten half those wrong already. So,
I have a terrible memory too. But I'm really bad with names and faces. I'm not, but names I'm pretty horrible with. But yet, for some reason, I don't know. I try to remember like specific events and keep them there. Anyway, I met all these. JB Crum was there as well, and so I met all these people. You know, I'm sure there's people that I'm forgetting that I met at that event. And it meant a lot to me. When I got home, I'm like, you know what? I wonder if there's like a Philly podcasters group or something to that effect. And there is. There's the Philadelphia Podcaster Society that's existed for a while. And so I was like, all right, well, let's go a little bigger. Like, and I was like, well, let's look at like combining the Mid-Atlantic states into a conference. Well, we held that was December. In I think February, we held our first event in New York, where we just did like a meetup at Bryant Park, which is right next to Times Square. And we, after that, I was like, all right, let's have the first conference. So getting the space for the event is a really cool podcasting story in itself, because I was interviewing this kid, Andrew Zapley, who was on MasterChef Junior season 2. And it turns out he got first runner up in MasterChef Junior season 2. And I became friends with him because he was a local kid. He, you know, going just one town over, going to the local Catholic, you know, middle school. And because I went there to the event, interviewed him, got to know the parents, got to know some of the staff at the school, like the principal and the marketing director and all that, and became really close with them. They, you know, I went and did a speaking event at the school. And then it turned into, well, hey, I would like to like rent this gymnasium for free for this podcasting event that I'm going to do. And the way I got to do it was I had to teach a course to the middle schoolers on podcasting. So we did 8 weeks and took them from like literally, you know, gathering up the ideas, picking who were the hosts were going to be, picking who was going to read what segments and what they were going to talk about, to like setting up people to build a website. So they built a WordPress website using PowerPress, of course, as I do, bless you. And you know, went through all that, and they ended up getting, I think, 3 episodes in before the school musical took over, which I think I attended. I remember actually attending. I think it was Peter Pan. So it was like I got interweaved with this whole community, and then some of the kids from the class actually came to the first conference event, which was pretty awesome. It's a neat way of getting something that would have cost me probably about $1,000, and at the time I wasn't sure how many people were even going to come to the first
event. And you bootstrapped it with a little, you know, a little B2B type of deal going on with the school.
Got to teach a class. I never did that before.
Awesome. So then that really ends up then, how many did you have show up at the first event?
We were between 35 and 50 people. Okay. And of those 35 to 50 people, about 10 of them stayed at my house. So we had like, air mattresses like everywhere. And then afterwards people like, I don't know, like a third or more of those people like that came to the conference, came back to the house. And we watched the Floyd Mayweather Pacquiao first fight and ordered pizzas, and it was cool. Brent Basham was there from Poddit. It was a great time.
So from there the conferences grew. Now we're in year what? This is year four.
This will be year six.
Six.
Yeah. So we've grown year over year. This past year the registrations were just over 100. I think it was like 110. We had like, I think about 85 of the people, 90 of the people show up because we had a hurricane that was kind of coming up the coast. And, you know, and it some people that wanted to come weren't able to come because of, you know, work obligations. People like Anthony Hayes weren't able to come because he works at, he's one of the assistant managers at a Publix, and it was all hands on deck to, you know, serve the community, which more power to them. I'm all for that. But it just stunk not to have him there. But yeah, so this year, I finally have heeded the call of other people that are like, hey, you need more people to help you. Like this, you really, please, we've been telling you for years, please get some more help. Amy J has been there with me since the second year, helping year after year at the event and in part throughout the year leading up to the event. But this year, you know, I took the call to action and I got a team of seven people on board with, including myself, and we're looking to grow between 300 to 400 people. So it's not impossible. And the reason it's not impossible is because there's a lot of people who have come to one or two of the years, but not every year. So if we hit all cylinders, just in the people that we've had come to past years,
right,
we easily will be at over 200 people, like 200 to 300 people, and just in that.
And maybe someone will be so hungry to go to a conference at that point, you'll have 1,000 people. Then that's a bigger issue.
Well, we'll figure that out. We you know, I still want to keep, the thing is like, I love one track conferences.
Yeah, I know you do.
You can build a vibe. You can build a family that way. You can build something that, you know, grows throughout the day. You know, inside jokes happen, like when there's this issue or that issue, and people can joke and people can change. I mean, you changed your talk,
yeah,
based because you saw what everybody else was talking about, and you were like, well, I really want to talk about this because I've been asked about RSS feeds, and you built a whole nother talk within a day to do so.
Yeah, and it was funny because someone covered something that I was going to talk about. I was like, well, no one's to hear that twice. So I flipped right on the, you know, and I think it was well received. Who knows? But
I appreciate it, because, you know, as being around podcasting and technology as much as I have, I didn't realize how crucial the RSS feed is in keeping the keeping it like
so you can't be
decentralized.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the key to, you know, to unlike YouTube or unlike, you know, the cable companies, keeping it decentralized is awesome.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
So the podcast, then, you're at 390 some episode.
Yeah.
And you changed your model on that as well, didn't you?
A couple of times, right? So it started out as Dreamers Podcast, inspiring others to live their dreams, to Dreamers Podcast, business lessons from those that live their dreams. Because I found myself interviewing people who were in the business entrepreneur space more and more. And for a while there, I was doing pre-shows with my boy Matt, who I've been friends with since forever ago, and is the one that gave me the Super Joe Pardo moniker back in like 2006. So it turned into this really fun thing that I was able to do. And a lot of those videos, I get them, they're sharing now on my Facebook, like, hey, you know, 3 years ago, you 4 years ago, you did this. And like, there's videos of me like holding Ava, my firstborn daughter from 4 years. She just turned four yesterday, but from 4 years ago. And like, I'm sitting there holding her and doing the pre-shows live on Facebook Live. It's crazy to think that Facebook Live is that old. Time flies. Or that Google Hangouts is that old.
Right.
But Yeah. So we went from doing that. We would usually talk like an hour about topics that are like topical of like what's going on right now. And then I'd be like, okay, and now the interview is going to come up, and I'd cut the interview in, and then the episode would run its course. Well, some of my episodes were starting to turn into like two and a half, three and a half hours, because sometimes our pre-shows would run like an hour, hour and a half. And then sometimes the episode would run like an hour, hour and a half. And then you're like, oh, wow, it's a 3-hour episode that, you know, with an interview at the end. And, you know, things always are evolving and changing. Right. And at one point I had won the business award for podcastawards.com. It was the 2017 awards, the 12th annual.
I think. Yep. Cause we're going to do it 15th this year. Yep.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thanks.
So I, you know, was like, all right, well, how can I change this? And I remember having a few conversations, and people were like, well, you know, I love the show because I love you. And but if it wasn't for you, I probably between like the way that the logo is and the way that your the name is, I don't think I would probably pass over if I was flipping through shows. And I was like, I get that. So I went to, I think, a little too much to one side, where it was like, okay, we're going to go to Business with Super Joe Pardo. And I lived that for about 2 years. And what I hated about that was that it didn't enable me to have an opportunity to be myself as much. I felt like I was talking to a different type of audience than what my audience already was. And I just felt like it just didn't, I don't know. I felt like I needed to wear like button down shirts and things. And I'm like, that's not me. Like, I don't, that's just not me. So, yeah. So I, after 2 years of rolling like that, I decided to go back to Dreamers Podcast. And it's simple now, right? We're business and where business meets life. So it's not life coaching. It's more business coaching, but it's more about your life with a business in it.
Is there such a thing?
Well, yeah, because the thing is like, so businesses are like a robot, right?
Yep.
They want to run 24 hours a day. They don't want to stop. And the fact of the matter is those robots have people. They have soft, squishy insides, and they're people, right? And people have outside influences, outside issues, outside challenges that they're dealing with. And it's all kind of pulling it apart, like, you know, as much as it possibly can at any given moment. So it's like, that's where like I find the business meets life. So part of that is also tying in. I started to produce a TV show called The Top with Super Joe Pardo, and The Top stands for Team Offer Process. And I've really have, you know, that those are the three key areas I focus on. So I really try to bring those types of topics into the Dreamers Podcast. And I don't know, I've played with the idea of changing the name of the show, changing the name of, again, like, you know, just, I don't know, to maybe make it, more me, I guess. I don't know.
Well, we've changed the name of this show 3 times, but I think we're pretty.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I think we've pretty much. Well, I think with the current format, we've nailed it. So,
but you know, having PowerPress to run the back end makes it easy to change the name.
That's right. It just takes a cut and type and save. Mm-hmm. So Super Joe, we're just about out of time. How can they find you? Give the whole plug and how they can go sign up for the conference and everything.
Yeah. So if you want to learn more about me and the projects that I have going, because I also run the IndiePod podcast over at IndiePodCon.com. I also run Business Geeks podcast with Samantha Riley from Australia and Jennifer Crawford, who runs the DC Podfest and Sparent.co. we are over at BusinessGeeksPodcast.com. So, yeah, go to superjoepardo.com and you can learn more about me. If you want to get more about the conference, if you want to get involved, if you want to speak at the conference, I don't know when this is going live, but if this goes live before the end of the month, March, you can go to indiepodcon.com and click the apply to speak button and submit your submission to speak. or application to speak. And I look forward to reading those. We actually have, it's surprising, Todd. We have so many people this year that I don't know that have submitted to speak. And some of them are like pretty, I would consider high places in the digital marketing world and things of that nature, from like company wise, not entrepreneur wise, but
right.
But yeah, I attribute a lot of that to the name change. So, you know, feel free to change your name if you need to. It will help so much. We are our Facebook group. We have a Facebook group on, you know, for the IndiePod Con family, and we have grown from like 400 people, we're just about to 800 people now.
Awesome.
In about 6 months. So just from a name change, I haven't done any advertising or anything. So people are searching out groups that they want to join, and they're finding it and they're clicking the join button. So I'm looking forward to the next few months.
So Joe, make sure, this is what I've been seeing in a lot of these conferences, is vet your speakers, because as you well know, everyone has an agenda. Even if I submit a submission, a speaking submission, I have an agenda. You have to vet those things hard and vet the people too, because we keep, you know, I keep going to conferences and hearing stuff sometimes that makes me go, oh, why did they, that's wrong, you know, or say something completely ridiculous. That's one of the reasons why we're starting the Blueberry Podcast Academy, that we're going to, you know, probably we'll do the first event virtual because of this, you know, world event going on now. But yeah, it's like, yeah, just vet. But anyway, hey, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
Again, everyone, check out Super Joe Pardo and Indie Pod Con and superjoepardo.com. Thanks for being on. We appreciate you being on Podcast Insider. All right, we want to thank Joe for his participation in the Podcast Insider. And if you want to be on the Podcast Insider, all you got to do is send an email to Todd, Mike, or Mackenzie at blueberry.com. We'll be happy to get your genesis story, talk about how you started podcasting, what it means to you, what it means to your audience, what you're getting out of it, how it's changing your business or your life. We want you to be on the Podcast Insider. This is a great program to get some exposure to your show, and also tell your story and have it out there. Mike, let's move into support. What's going on there?
Okay, well, look, I only have a couple of things. I'm getting a lot of questions about show notes. I think now that a lot of people are at home, they're paying attention to more of the details of how their show shows up in all the different directories. And Dave from our support team is working on figuring out exactly what part shows up in which app. But the way it works is there's tags in your RSS feed. One of them is the description tag, and then there's a summary tag, and then there's a few tags, and the different app developers can pick and choose what part of your feed they want to use in their app and how they display it. It's not going to follow your formatting all the time. Apple does a pretty good job if you put it in, you know, in the description in the main part of your blog post, and in the case of WordPress, PowerPress. And they do a really good job of keeping the formatting and all that, but not all of them do. And so, you know, trying to control what every app shows just will drive you nuts. I mean, it really will. And it drives us nuts because people are asking questions about it. But, you know, we'll help you out as best we can. But my advice always is keep it as simple as possible. Don't give the apps any choice, you know, just type your show notes, description, blog post, whatever you want to call it, in the main part of your post, and don't have 10 different things, because you're never going to be able to control which app shows, you know, what, unless you just give them that one choice, and then everybody will show the same thing. May not be formatted right, but it is what it is. Let's see. The other thing in there is just Google Podcasts. A lot of people are a little confused about Google Podcasts. There is no way currently to submit your show to Google Podcasts. You can go through, you know, Webmaster Tools or whatever they're calling it now, and, you know, get your show indexed. But the whole idea is that Google has to index your show or your site with your show on it. And there's a few requirements for that, which we can help you with if need be. And there's a link right in PowerPress too, under the Google Podcasts area, that'll explain how that all works. But it can be a couple of months sometimes before your show is actually listed in Google Podcasts. It's Very frustrating, but that's the way they want to do it because they're a search company.
But Mike, if they are using their own website, they are using PowerPress. We have WePub Sub Hub turned on by default. It's going to ping Google when there's a new episode out. Your chances of being listed faster in Google.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely, if you're using that magic combination, which we know many of you that are hosting with Blueberry are, you'll more than likely be in Google Podcasts a lot quicker. So next thing we're going to do is we're going to go into Sean's tips. Sean has a pre-recorded announcement for us. He's going to talk about PowerPress website tab settings explained. And of course, we're getting ready to update to PowerPress 8.3. So if you're listening to this months later, some of this data may have changed. But anyway, we'll go ahead now and kick to Sean's segment.
This is Sean Thorpe from the Blueberry Support Team with this week's PowerPress tip. The website tab of PowerPress settings contains a number of options that determine how PowerPress interacts with the visual layout of your WordPress site. This is the first in a multi-part series where we'll take a look at the website tab. At the very top of the tab are two options: Enable PowerPress Media Players and Links, and Disable PowerPress Media Players and Links. Select the Enable option if you'd like to use the PowerPress Media Player in any way on your website. Select the Disable option if you don't want to use the PowerPress Media Player. The Podcast Permalinks drop-down menu should almost always be left in the default state. Changing this setting may impact the functionality of your site, so be sure you know what you're doing before changing it. The Display Media and Links section gives you controls for displaying the PowerPress Media Player on your site. Choose either below or above page content to have the Media Player automatically appear above or below your show notes on your WordPress posts. Choose Disable if you don't want the Media Player to appear automatically, but would rather manually choose the player's location using the PowerPress shortcode. The next two checkboxes allow you to set the Media Player to appear in WordPress excerpts and posts where you've used the Read More tag. The Media Player and Media Links sections allow you to customize how the PowerPress Media Player displays. Unchecking the Display Player box will keep the embedded Media Player from showing up, but other links will still display on your website depending on how you have those links configured. Check the Display Play in New Window link to give your audience the ability to open the PowerPress Media Player in a new browser window. Check the box next to Display Download link to make it easy to directly download your podcast media files. You can also choose to display your media file size and playback duration using the optional checkboxes here. If you'd like others to be able to embed your podcast episodes on their own websites, check the Display Player Embed link box. And that's it for this week's PowerPress tip. We'll go over more of the website tab next time. If you have any questions about this or anything else in the Blueberry universe, email support@blueberry.com.
I want to thank Sean for putting that together for us.
That was part one. He's got part two next week.
Oh, awesome. So this has been fun, Mike, doing the Podcast Insider Live. As a matter of fact, next week we may do this again. And if you want to come hang out with us, we're going to do this at 11 a.m. on Thursday. We'll be live on our Facebook page for those of you that are listening to the podcast later. Those of you who have been listening live, well, you missed the interview, so you're still going to have to get the show to listen to the interviews. But we'll play with this for a little while and see how it goes. And if nothing else, everyone else is stuck at home. It's going to give you some distraction for your day. And for those of you that are listening, we'll stick around after the live event, after we get done recording this portion of the show, and we'll actually do some tips and tricks, or basically question and answer time for you. And
demo.
Yeah, you can do a demo. You're not going to get that during the regular Podcast Insider. So I'm kind of talking to both audiences now, which is kind of weird. So those of you listening, we want to thank you for being here. And subscribe to the podcast at podcastinsider.com. Make sure you get over there and get subscribed. If you have comments on today's show or have a suggestion for something that we should cover, It's Todd at blueberry.com, Mike at blueberry.com, and Mackenzie at blueberry.com. It's been our pleasure bringing the Podcast Insider. We'll see you next week here on podcastinsider.com. Everyone, take care.